Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. Good Tu B'Shvat according to Beit Shaman. All right, Chodesh Tov. Just a quick word. I'm going to tell a story in a second about family. But today's sponsor for today's learning here in Yeshiva is someone who really loved and appreciated his family. One of the grandparents of one of our alumnuses. Mr. Leo Cohen, Eliezer Lipman ben Meir Michala Cohen, who was Yaakov Cohen's grandfather, and Yaakov also named his son after him. Someone who really loved Israel, you know, Am Yisrael, his family. So I guess it's only appropriate to tell a quick story about family. The truth is, this year, I feel like I've been a little underwhelmed by the Asara Makot, by the Ten Makot. Let me explain. On Shabbat, I'm sitting learning with my kids. So I ask my kids, okay, so, dam, blood, what happened? How big of a deal was it? My son starts telling me all the waters turned red and it was blood and you couldn't drink it and no one had drinks, the Egyptians couldn't drink. They were starving, famine. And then we said, wait a second. My other son looks at me and he goes, but wait, that means for a whole week or again, according to the Midrash, perhaps even longer? They didn't drink? How'd they live? And we open the Pasuk. No. Just the Yehor. Just the Nile River. So if you dig elsewhere, you find clean water. My kids look at me. Okay. Not so bad. Next one. Tzfardea. Frogs. What is it? So my son jumps up. I know I heard this story. And he gives me this image of like this big, massive Tyrannosaurus frog getting out of the water and causing havoc and eating people. I got to talk to his teacher. But that was the image of Tzfardea for him. Except that according to the Pesukim, certainly in Pshat, it's frogs. They just came up from the ground. They're usually in the water. They're usually bugs. They're whatever they are. And they came up and they were annoying. Despite the song of frogs being everywhere, they were annoying. And perhaps the worst part of the Makkah is that when they all died, they stunk. Where's the grandiose of the Makot? Right, this week's parasha, we open up the first two aliyot this week. Arba, locusts. I gotta be honest with you. You know, locusts, we know what they are. They ravage all over the world. They come, they go. It's part of nature, it happens. That's the Ten Makot. God wants to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. I am going to smite the Egyptians with all my might. Really? That's all you got? Now, if I was designing, the Gulf War and shock and awe, I'm saying, were these the Ten Makot? Is this the way you would have done it? And if the answer is, God could have done lots of different things, the question is, why did God choose to do it in the way that he did it? Someone pointed out to me over Shabbat that there are a number of different themes or objects and subjects of the Ten Makot, that if you listen to them one after the other, they should sound familiar. Right? Dam affected the water. And then Tzfardea and Kinim were the dry land. And some of the Makot affected the sky and the dark and the light and the participation and the rain and the little animals and the big animals and people. When you think about it, the Ten Makot, the subjects or the objects of the Makot, are the first 6 days of creation. It's all the things that God created. Now let's be clear, if God wanted to shock and awe, he could have created, uncreated, double created. But apparently that's not the message of the Makot. The message of the Makot is God looks at Am Yisrael and God looks at Mitzrayim and says, I created this world. And I'm going to show you my power by showing that I can manipulate it at will. And if I want the rain to be some totally unscientific mixture of water and fire, I can do that. And you know, if I want the water to become magically contaminated and then to go back to normal, I can do that. Because God in the Makot isn't interested in shock and awe. God in the Makot is interested in us noticing that God is in everything around us, that God controls nature, but he's not interested in demonstrating absolute control. He's interested in us noticing and in us saying, wow, that water was contaminated, now it's not, and I had nothing to do with it, which means somebody else did. Locusts happen all the time, but they happened specifically now when Moshe said they would. And they left exactly when Moshe said they would leave. God is in the details. You know, the Chartumim, after the third Makkah, come to the conclusion, Etzpa Elokimi. Notice, they don't say, oh, God is all-powerful, God can destroy us in a second. They say it's God's finger. Because all God is interested in revealing to us is a little finger. The rest we have to do. God's interested in demonstrating. He's here. If you look for it, you'll see it very clearly. Perhaps in the world of Emunah, this is one of the mistakes we make. We look for God in the grandiose. We look for God in undeniable proofs that God is standing in front of me. Well, maybe we're looking in the wrong place. And the Makot, with the purpose of the Makot, is to demonstrate that God wants to take Bnei Yisrael out. God acts in the shadows. God acts only with his finger. God acts in the details of nature. Perhaps sometimes we're simply looking for God in the wrong places. Shirim 9:15.